Hello and welcome to episode 46 of the Pink and Blue Xbox podcast.
Hello everybody, my name is Aaron Gamertag PG Monkey.
And I'm Katie Fluffy Dragon 86.
So nice for you to join us this evening.
Or morning.
or wherever you are. That sounded really patronising.
It did, yeah.
So nice to you to join us, finally.
We've been waiting here.
This week we talk about some news, of course, because it's been a very, very busy couple of weeks. Some games of gold for March 2016. We're running a little bit late. We should have recorded it last week. I apologise. What we've been playing, and is the Xbox going PC?
Who knows? Politically correct.
Well, I don't mean that PC. PC like a PC. Following some comments, Mr. Spencer, the old kingpin of Xbox, said a few things last week, and it's got people buzzing as to what's going to happen about Xbox in the future. So we'll be talking about that. So, should we start with some news?
Big news.
Huge news.
Microsoft have announced that they will be closing down UK gaming institution Lionhead Studios, and with it, all further development of Fable Legends has been cancelled. The company, based in Guildford, Surrey, and home to around 100 employees, sprung from the success of Bullfrog Productions back in 1996, and they worked on the Fable series, Black and White, and the now infamous Milo and Kate Kinect demo. Lionhead was acquired by Microsoft back in 2006, 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, if you have just lost your job, you're a part of Lionhead, condolences, and I hope you move on to something dead quick. I'm sure you will.
Sure they will.
Or a bunch of talented guys.
Up.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it was very impressive the way that the gaming community has already rallied around those guys and said, look, you know, come here and, you know, we've got some things for you, and hopefully Microsoft won't leave them in the lurch and give them other things as well. Huge loss. Lionhead, for all of their pomp and their hype, they still have had a pretty decent run in the gaming industry. Fable in particular was a fantastic franchise.
I'm really sad there's not going to be any more Fable.
Yeah, I mean, they were that close to doing Fable Legends as well.
I know, kind of just finish that and then call it a day.
Well, I mean,
go out of a bang.
Well, it was running late already, wasn't it? And then it just had an open beta and, you know, it was getting close to completion, and he just put it back, and I don't know, it was just one of those things where you just thought, just let them have another couple of months, let them get one more game out, you know?
Let them finish it and go out with a bang.
Yeah.
Just say, right, let's finish this and then we'll go.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, something like that.
At least they'll feel completed then.
Yeah.
It's such a shame. And everyone was so looking forward to it as well.
I don't know about that.
Well, Fable fans
were
looking forward to it. I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I've been asking for it for ages.
It was very telling the way that Microsoft dropped the announcement and said, we're looking more forward to producing games that people will play, suggesting that hardly anyone will
That's
be playing.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was going to play Fable, so just keep that under your belts.
So, nah.
Put it on your CV for your next job.
So, yeah, good luck everyone to Lionhead for the future. I hope you do well. I'm sure you will. Mass Effect Andromeda is likely to be delayed until the first quarter of 2017, it has been revealed. Which is not a huge shock when you look back at the previous games in the series. Mass Effect 3 was a March release back in 2012, and Mass Effect 2 was released in January 2010.
Oh.
So the expectation was it was meant to come out for the holiday period of 2016, you know, October, November time, maybe December, but they're going to push it back to quarter one of 2017, so probably between January and March. It's not an uncommon thing for Mass Effect, and it might do quite well. They'll miss the whole rush towards Christmas, won't they? Yeah.
Psyonix have announced that over 1 million unique players have experienced Rocket League on the Xbox One since its release in mid-February.
Jesus.
The game is also set to explode on the esports scene, with its first championship series being broadcast on Twitch.
Wow, doesn't get any bigger than that.
No, that's cool.
Well, it does, but that's a good start.
Yeah.
I've been one of those 1 million, and I'll be talking about it later. I'm in training for the championship series.
Yeah, it's a lot of training.
Actually, it's not coming to Xbox until later. It's PS4 and PC that get the championship series first. But 1 million since mid-February.
That's really good. They've done really well.
It's a lot of dollar. If you're looking for a first-person shooter with a twist, then Screen Cheat could be the game for you, as everyone in this chaotic multiplayer is invisible. Impossible, you say? Well, you're shown your enemy's viewpoint on screen, so you can hazard a pretty good guess as to where they are before you spray and pray. The game is available on the Xbox Store now.
Yeah, we were watching this on YouTube the other day, weren't we?
It intrigues me,
It's a pretty cool idea.
Mm.
So you have a split screen, a four-way split screen, which everybody can see.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see where the other players are.
Because it's like, it runs on that split screen mode anyway, like in Call of Duty or something. And you're playing a local multiplayer, you're always kind of got one eye
on where they are,
where the other person is.
So it's based on that. So you have to cheat, because on your screen, you can't see anything.
You can't see bugger all.
No,
that's right.
There's nobody on your screen, so you have to cheat. You have to look at the other split screens, which is pretty cool. It's a good concept, and I like the idea of that. Bethesda have announced that Fallout 4 will be getting a creation toolkit for modding purposes within the next few months. These start with a PC release in April, an Xbox One release in May, and finally announcing on PS4 in June.
All right. And finally in our news, Major Nelson has admitted that Microsoft needs to do a better job with showing off indie games via the Xbox One. Speaking on his recent podcast, Major said, is that his first name? No. It's Larry. We need to be better at providing exposure and at merchandising indie games. During its pomp, the Xbox 360 promoted many indies via its Xbox Live Arcade, something which the Xbox One is distinctly lacking.
Yeah, and you've mentioned this before as well, haven't you?
I think the storefront on the Xbox is horrible.
Yeah.
It should be split between AAA games and then indies, or downloadable games, DLCs or whatever, just put them, departmentalise them better. Yeah, because at the moment...
Categorise them.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess.
It's just a bit of everything, all mixed in with everything.
Yeah, so get better at that for a start.
Get better, Do your job, Xbox.
they had this in the Xbox 360.
Yeah,
so
I don't know why they didn't transfer that.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
What they had worked.
Yeah, I thought so.
And it was easy to browse, and you could see what was new, and they haven't really captured that on the Xbox One yet.
No. 11.
It's not... Well, I can't read it. You need to do it in 13 at least. Are you recording?
Yes, I'm recording.
I can't read the font. It's too small.
The difference between 11 and 13 on the font, on the font space.
Well, you could buy me some new glasses and then you wouldn't have to. You could type in 8.
Get all the news on one page.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to do all this double-sided shit. Can we get on with the news, please?
Yes.
Stop being an idiot.
So this is Games of Gold for March 2016. I've got a poser for you with Games of Gold, but first let's do the list of games. On Xbox One we have...
Sherlock Holmes, Crime and Punishment.
Cool. And the second one on Xbox One is...
Lords of the Fallen.
Okay. And on the Xbox 360 we have...
Supreme Commander 2.
Yeah. And...
And Borderlands.
So who's my poser?
Yeah.
Let's say, for example, that my local game has a pre-owned copy of Sherlock Holmes Crime and Punishment in their store.
Yeah.
Right?
Be about £12, yeah.
Okay. Now, let's say I don't know anything about the fact that it's free.
Yeah.
If I then take it to the game store counter, if I take it to the till...
To buy,
is it up to the game retailer to say, hold on a second, mate?
You do know it's free at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get this for free on your Xbox.
Yeah.
What happens then?
What happens then?
Yeah.
He'd probably get told off by his manager.
Yeah, but is it... It's an ethical question, but more...
It depends on the person, I guess. Some people would probably say... You know, that's free at the moment.
Yeah.
You don't really need to buy this. Some others would go, yeah, cash, cheers, thanks, bye.
If you're working for a supermarket chain or something, you wouldn't necessarily know, you know, what's an offer at what time, would you?
Yeah.
But particularly something that doesn't involve your particular store. But, I mean, people like GameStop, they're in the know.
Well, they should be.
They should be.
Yeah.
So they would have more of an inkling about what's an offer, etc., even if it doesn't necessarily involve them. But on the other hand, it's a sale.
Yeah, it's all cash in the till, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm just wondering how. I've never asked. I might do an experiment tomorrow in my local game. Just go pick up a copy of Sherlock Holmes, because I've seen it in there for 20 quid.
Really? 20?
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. God. So I know it's available. I know they've got it. But if I take it to the till, where they go, you can get that for free, mate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I doubt it. I doubt think it. They're going to make you spend
but then
20 quid
I'll
it.
Have to pay 20 quid for the game. I'm just interested to know. I mean, is it a case? I mean, I doubt they do. But would Microsoft give you a heads up, give retailers a heads up saying, oh, in June 2016, we're giving away, I don't know, Rocket League or whatever?
Yeah. You know, they probably not.
They probably don't. I reckon everybody gets the news at exactly the same time.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah. But I honestly don't know. If I was working behind a till and I knew that something was free on something for a period, I would say, do you know what, mate, it's free.
Yeah.
Don't bother buying it today.
Yeah.
So that's just me.
Unless you're buying it as a gift for someone, it's not worth buying it.
Yeah, that's true. So, is the Xbox going all PC?
All politically correct.
Yeah. So, speaking at a recent San Francisco press event, Xbox head honcho Phil Spencer, he envisaged that consoles could become more like a PC in the future, packing on regular hardware upgrades to cater for updated games. And he actually said something along the lines of, consoles lock to the hardware and the software platforms together at the very, very beginning, and they go for 7 or 8 years, and they believe, as in Microsoft, that they'll see more hardware innovation in the console space, and they can effectively feel a little bit more like what we see on a PC. And then after everyone bit his head off...
You should have expected.
several days later, he basically climbed down and said...
On his pedestal.
Yeah. he says, am I going to break open a new console and start upgrading individual pieces? No, that's not our plan. Basically break the warranty anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got that seal on it, hasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. and then he said, but as a longer-term vision statement, and that was it, that was the important bit, longer-term... I wanted to make sure people understood that what we're doing is good for the console space in addition to being good for the PC space. So he's mentioning in longer term, and he's mentioning in consoles and PCs in separate parts of the sentence, and that's important.
Right.
Because nobody wants a hybrid.
No, nobody
was. This whole cross-platform thing is a good idea, because Lord knows Sony have got it with their PS4s, PS3s and PSPs. Xbox kind of needs that with PC, and cross-platform gaming is good. The universal app stuff is also good, and we should be hearing later on during this month about the first kind of universal apps for everything. Plus, we already know that Microsoft want Xbox, PC and mobile things all locked together anyway. But... an upgradable Xbox. People were going nuts. Do you mean an upgradable Xbox? What are you talking about?
Yeah, he needs to explain that a bit more, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, he did. He did several days later. He said, look, this is not what we mean for this console.
Right.
Which is just as well.
So a future console?
Possibly. But I don't really want to have an Xbox, future or otherwise, that makes me stop when I go and buy a game and think, right, is this ready for my Xbox? Can my Xbox play it?
Have I got the right hardware on my Xbox? Which is the problem some PC gamers have now. I mean, we had an awful PC, and we always had to look at PC games and go, can our computer handle this?
No.
Probably not. So
Can it play Worms? Nah.
Nope. So we don't want a generation where that's the same issue with Xboxes or consoles, do we? Really?
Not really. I mean, there are people that...
I wouldn't look forward to that.
There are people that are thinking, do you know what? If we don't do this, this... is a really good idea. If we don't do this, we're not going to push the system forward. And I can understand where they're coming from, because there are people that want to break into an Xbox, upgrade it, do this, do that, tweak about with the settings, etc. There are those people. For the vast majority of people, I imagine it's the opposite way around. Do not touch my Xbox. I don't want upgrades. Just the simplicity thing of just plugging a game in and playing it is enough.
Yeah, because PC gaming, you know, you've got to know a lot more about your hardware before you can play the game. You can't just plug it in and play it.
No. The second thing I think a PC gamer will check. One, do I like the game? Two, is it going to run on my PC?
Yeah.
And that's it.
To me, like, upgrades are great, but then you get into all this business of, well, so-and-so's got a better computer than mine because he's got more money than me.
Yeah.
And I don't like that idea that someone else might play the game better than me just because they've got more money than me. At the moment, we've all got the same Xboxes.
Yeah.
The only difference that some might find is their internet's a bit quicker, so they might have that advantage.
Yeah.
That's the only advantage someone can have these days is their internet's a bit quicker than mine. I'm lagging a little bit.
So what have we been playing? You finished Unravel, haven't you?
Yeah, I finished it yesterday, but I'm going to go back and collect all the secrets that I missed, because there's a few that I missed.
How many?
About half a dozen.
Half a dozen, that's not bad.
Yeah.
How many are there per level?
Five per level.
And there's
11 levels.
11 levels, yeah, you do okay.
There's five per level, except one level.
Okay.
That's what I'll say. Spoilers.
Right.
but I've missed about half a dozen-ish, maybe a couple more, across all the levels, so I can go back and find them.
Okay. Are you happy that you finished it? Was it getting frustrating at the end?
No, it wasn't frustrating at the end.
No?
No. The story thickened near the end.
Right.
But...
like the snow.
Yeah, the snow got thicker. That's a spoiler if people haven't got to that bit. No.
Snow's coming.
Spoiler. It didn't get more frustrating. The puzzles just were consistent, I think.
Right, okay.
It didn't get any harder. It was quite consistent.
There was more of a flurry. Snow joke.
Snow.
There was more of a flurry of puzzles rather than being sparsely put together in the earlier levels.
Yeah, I mean, the early levels were just, I think, designed to teach you how to solve the puzzles and how to get through the worlds.
Yeah.
Past the first few levels, it's just then, right, solve it.
So does it make you work a little bit harder for it at the end?
Not really.
No?
No. But yeah, it's a good story and I hope to bring out more levels for it. It's quite short, but I spread it out. I only finished it yesterday because I avoided playing it for a while. Because I didn't want to finish it. I didn't want it to end.
You've got to think about that 100G, man.
I know, I did get the 100G. Yeah. I was like, whoa, where did that come from? I'm sad that it's finished. I'm glad I can go back and just redo levels that I need to.
Yeah.
To find things I haven't found. But I'm sad that it's gone and there's no more levels. Hope and pray that there is going to be DLC for it, because I'll be right there. Keen as a bean. Keen as a bean to get onto the new levels, yeah. So,
good.
You haven't finished though, have you?
No, I haven't.
You're way behind.
No, because I've been playing other games as well. Everybody in your family has finished it apart from me.
Yeah. Because we're cool.
Tell them about the way that your mum throws her body into this.
Literally.
Yeah.
Every time she's got to lasso the rope and swing left to right. A whole body swings left to right with the controller in her hand.
This is why this game could have been good on Kinect.
She should have done it on Kinect. I think she'd be better at it on Kinect.
Just swing and lasso. So she sways with...
She makes me feel seasick watching her.
She goes with the joypad movement.
Yeah. She's got a controller in hand.
Yep.
She sat on the sofa, swinging left to right, a whole body on the sofa.
Yep.
And then jumps.
Well, she physically jumps off the surface.
So I think a bum lifts up like an inch or so.
Okay.
But she doesn't actually lift up in the air, but she does lift off the seat a bit to jump when she presses the button. And then she misses, so she's like, oh, I've got to do it again.
So she picks herself up off the floor, goes and sits back down on the city. No, but I can see where she's coming from.
Sorry, Mum.
Sorry. I can see where she's coming from because I do this with games as well. Like in a...
swing.
Yeah.
Like a monkey.
Like a natural movement. If you're playing a car game, like in Forza, if you've got the Kinect hooked in with Forza, if you're moving, the screen moves as well.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
And if your head turns, you know, you can...
But that's natural, like when you're driving and stuff, to just move with the car, isn't it? But she was physically, like...
throwing herself into
across
it.
Across the sofa, like swinging.
Like she's some kind of, like, yacht on a high sea.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was a very windy day.
Pete, I like to watch videos of people playing their video games and getting right into it like that.
She did.
Not necessarily swearing her head off or verbally abusing anyone, but generally just movement with a joystick. I think it's fascinating.
It's not that kind of game, though, is it? Swearing and getting frustrated. It's like, oh, I've got to do it again. I missed. You just kind of go with it. You don't get annoyed when you can't do it.
I think the aesthetic of the game helps with that.
Yeah. It's really relaxing, calming. It's, even though it's tricky in some bits, it is quite difficult to get some bits. You don't get annoyed with it.
Right.
Well, I don't.
It's therapeutic, then.
Yeah, it is very therapeutic.
There you go. I've been doing some pure pool.
Pure pool.
Yeah, because I was practicing and I thought, do you know what, I'm not too bad at this. I started getting a few, like, you know, semi-decent breaks in snooker, and I think my highest was like 50. And I thought, do you know what, now's the time to take this online and to try and see what my skills are against people online. What a bad mistake that was.
Yeah, that's usually the worst mistake you can make. Well, yeah, I'm really good at this. Oh, no, I'm not.
So I've played 17 games online, right? How many games do you think I've won?
Four.
Oh, so close. I've won three. I've won three games online. I am utterly useless compared to the rest of them. I mean, I've only just got it, and everyone else has, like, probably had this for about a year.
Yeah, and it's three wins. That's three wins.
They probably thought, oh, my God. I've just
they were having a bad day.
Yeah, they was obviously, you know, had a stroke or something while they were playing. I just took advantage. But I'm still very much enjoying it. I'm still learning the game, obviously. So, come on, guys. If you meet me online, take it a little bit easy on me, please, because still learning here.
You can laugh at him.
L plates.
You can laugh at him, but just, yeah, give him a chance.
Yeah.
It's like a three-year-old. When you play games with a three-year-old, you pretend that they won on purpose. Oh, you beat me. Oh, that's a shame. I'll have to do it again now.
The other game, which is a bit more serious, that I've been playing is Rocket League. I mentioned it earlier. I'm pretty amazed at A, how popular this thing's got, bearing in mind it's a sequel of a game that came out like about 7-8 years ago. It used to be known as Supersonic Battle Star Cars or something.
Really, very catchy name.
Really weird game on the, well, really basic Rocket League thing on the PS3. So that's that thing. It's not a new idea for certain.
Well, Top Gear did it for a start.
Well, yeah, it's true. But I'm also amazed at the job they did with it in this particular game, because it's just, for what the premise is of basically a kid's game, you know, cars and football, you know, it very much brings out the seven-year-old in you. But they've managed to market it and also bring so much depth to a game to basically make everyone enjoy it. It is really, really well made. Even the AI on a single player mode, in the season mode, is very, very responsive to what you do. They're not idiots. You know, the AI just don't do stupid, crazy things. They actually help you when you're attacking and help you when you're defending, and they kind of know where you're going to be and kind of predict what you're going to do. So
you couldn't predict if it was me.
No, I mean, but that is a very, very well made game. You don't often see AI as well done as what you do in Rocket League. And of course, all that goes out the window when you go online, because there's no AI.
Yeah.
Well, there's very few AI.
But it's harder to predict what real people are going to do.
It is so difficult to predict what real people are going to do. And it is so chaotic. It's unbelievable fun. It's just a slap bang, just hilarious affair whenever you do go online. And I've been having more success at that because I've actually been getting pretty good at Rocket League. I can't remember how many goals I've scored, something like about 50 or 60, but that's pretty good in a week. But I have been playing it quite religiously, just trying to learn the mechanics of it all, trying to do these fancy Dan moves, which aren't quite pulling off at the moment. You know, the old backflips and aerial hits and goodness knows what else. I'm trying to do all that, but I need to get the basics down. But yeah, flat out, just so much fun.
I just liked Abby's response when she saw you playing it the other day.
Oh, yeah.
She said, Daddy's playing car football and orange car scored a goal!
Yeah. That was me.
And that's pretty much all the game for you. Car football and score a goal!
Yeah, you get some crazy games. You get some... I mean, I've been on the wrong ends of hidings, and I've been involved in some dramatic games, just like football. The other day, I scored in the very last second to take the game into overtime. I mean, that was just panic. That last second as the ball slowly rolled over the line. Is it going to get there in time? Because if it goes to zero, that's it. And I could see this ball just slowly ease towards the goal with a countdown. My eye was on the clock and it was going 3, 2, 1, goal! Everyone must have went mental. And I went, yeah, that's what it's all about.
Did you record that one?
I did record that one, of course.
Let's record that.
We lost in overtime.
But there you go. Damn it.
Yeah. So all I'm pretty much looking forward to now is super hot for the rest of the month. As soon as my Rocket League lust runs out, I'll be straight on that.
Yeah.
Lust.
Good word.
So yeah, super hot's coming sometime this month. Hopefully, please God say it's so, because... I just so want to play that game.
Super hot. Which one's that again?
It's the one where you said last time it's like a first person shooter chess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's because its name doesn't match what it is, so I always forget it.
Neither does Rocket League, you know, but the first one was called Acrobatic Supersonic Rocket Powered Battle Cars.
Yeah. It's very catchy.
It is. So you need something more catchy for super hot, do you?
Yeah, something that matches what it actually does.
Okay. What about No Time for Ninjas? No?
No.
Don't Blink?
Don't Blink.
Yeah.
Like Doctor Who.
Yeah. It's a Kind of Matrix. No?
No, do you have to sing it?
What about Glock Clock?
What?
Glock Clock.
What the hell is a Glock Clock?
A Glock is a gun.
Right, okay.
Well, you know, I listen to a lot of rap, so I know all my guns. My AKs, my Glocks, my 9s.
Yeah.
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 What about Paws Patrol?
Paws Patrol.
Or, my personal favourite, Stop and Go Chuck Norris.
Yeah, that one.
That's the one?
Yeah.
Good.
Stop and Go Chuck Norris it is.
We'll suggest it to the developers.
Yeah.
For the sequel.
Change the name. Super hot.
Stop and go, Chuck Norris. The thing is now, I've watched so many people play Super Hot on Let's Plays and things, that I kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you've probably seen all the levels now, haven't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. I've certainly seen the first dozen or so.
Yeah, and a lot of the levels were from the beta as well, weren't they?
That I don't know. I presume so.
Yeah. Someone said, we were watching someone the other day, and I remember they said some of the levels are from the beta, but they've just tweaked them a little bit, so you kind of know what to do before you've done it. So that's a bit of a shame.
It is, but...
But still, yeah.
They're seeing it and also playing and doing it in action.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot different.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked the bit at the end where it just shows you what you've done in real time.
Oh, that's a flipping smart thing.
Yeah.
So unless... If you haven't seen it, basically you'll play out your level in your, you know, extended time frame, stop, move, kill people, take people out, you do a level. So I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Once you've completed a level, it does it in real time. So yeah.
And it looks awesome. It strings
all the things together to make it look like you're some kind of badass ninja Chuck Norris dude.
With a gun.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It is.
That kind of reminds me of Super Meat Boy, that bit at the end.
Right.
Where when you finish the level, you see all the deaths you've had, remember?
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah. Again.
That was a cool idea as well.
One of those silly little things where you just think, this game has just, yes.
It's like an incentive, isn't it, to finish the level?
It is. I think so. I mean, yeah, part of the Super Meat Boy's charm is to, when you do finish a level, is just see where you went wrong
a million times. Oh my God, how many times do you have to jump off that ledge?
And those half a dozen times where you nearly made it, but just cocked it up on the last bit. Yeah. So that's all we've been doing this week, and I think it's about time we wrap things up. We've got something that you've put together for music.
Have I?
Yeah.
What did I do?
I've no idea. We'll find out in a minute.
I think I just plugged the guitar into the iPad and twinkled the strings a bit.
Twinkled a bit. Yeah. All right, we're going to listen to Katie's twinkling. In the meantime, you can reach us at pinkandblue360. That's where we be on Twitter. You can come see us on Facebook. We've got two groups there. Not a lot goes on, but you can join us anyway. And you can also email us at pinkandblue360@hotmail.co.uk. That's about it for episode 46. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.